Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide and direct us as we live. Protect us also and help us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is so much good and wonderful in life. We enjoy it and we celebrate all of that with joy in our hearts and love and appreciation for God's blessings as well. We always want to recognize this goodness and thank God for it. And we also live in this world where we must be watchful and cautious, because there are some parts to life where we need to be aware of what is trying to ensnare us. There are the worldly snares, and we recognize that because we see persecution and deception and false doctrine and evil people and deceivers. They are all real. And yes, there are imposters as well who appear to be good people. That's everywhere in our ordinary life, in our government, and in our churches. And when we see the bad things, we want to stay away from that and instead be drawn to the goodness of God Jesus Christ. Yeah, it surely does that to me. So from time to time, I think about 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read a few verses of that. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For all this sort are those who creep into households to make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by lusts in their hearts, always yearning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I'll skip ahead a few verses. Yes, all who desire to live godly shall suffer persecution. Skip again. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Well, it's always best to read Scripture for yourself, and it's best not to skip verses like I just did, but it seems in communication we just do that, like I just did. It seems that we are in the days where there is deception going on all around us. It's deception just plain in ordinary life, like we just read about in Timothy chapter 3. But we have deception in this world otherwise. I mean, it's everywhere. And it's even in what we normally are involved with in life, like our banking system. Yeah, there. Or look at with our voting or our presidential election. And what about the COVID virus or the COVID vaccinations? There are so many things that are just deceptions. And we seek to have truth and understanding, and that's what we do. But I've looked at videos and information, and then I've seen where they have been removed from the internet because they're called disinformation or not true or something. And how are we going to look at the different points of view and come to an opinion if we don't get all of them? We have discernment. We can have some idea of what truth and deception is, but the videos on the internet are so often removed. And I know what they're about because you can still see the title, just not the rest of the information. In the last months, there has been a great big difference between conservative news and the progressive liberal news. And we do search for truth, and it's good to get an understanding of different points of view. That's true in everything, whether it's for scripture and we learn more as we search out understanding, or whether it's the things in this life which are just all around us. Controversial things, things that we don't have real understanding of, we look for information and we get it, or sometimes it's denied like it has been lately on internet things or even on the regular news. So maybe I ought to say, look around and see if these really are the last days, those days that 2 Timothy 3 talks about. I think the most important lesson of that is that we seek God and we stay close to Jesus for our salvation, and we want to also remember to be in constant prayer for others. Oh, there are so many people who need Jesus, our friends, our family, and even our enemies. After all, if our enemies receive Jesus, then they would have goodness inside of them. And then all that other bad stuff would slowly go away, and they would get more and more goodness of God in them. So, yes, pray for your enemies also. And that also makes a testimony that they would have and that we would learn from, that Christ really is alive in various people and he can change lives. Amazing. So, pray for the unsaved, besides praying for your friends and family. So that's to dwell on. There are all sorts of ideas going around. And yeah, as I think back, let me tell you about this one. About 30 years ago, I was introduced to the idea that there were elite people who wanted to eliminate most of the population of the world. And at that time, I flat out did not believe it. Just didn't. Oh, no. It was just too impossible to consider that any people would want such a thing. It just didn't make sense to me. And then over the course of, 6 or 8 years, I heard more ideas and more statements from a few of the elite people about that. They would speak about it. They would have statements. And gradually, I got to grasp the idea that there really were a very few of those rich and powerful elite people who really did have that goal to eliminate most of the population of Earth. Oh, that was hard for me. However, I did eventually grasp it despite what I had to overcome. So unbelievable at that time. Even though I heard them say it, I heard people say it, I read the statements, and I just couldn't quite believe it. But eventually I did. So I got to think that, yes, there were some of those elite people who had that goal. One of the things that struck me at that time was I would meet people who talked about it. I would hear their lectures, or I would read their literature or a book or something. And then a couple of years later, I would look for those people or their books or something, and I wouldn't be able to find them. So I'd ask somebody around and say, hey, whatever happened to that person or that author? And, you know, surprise, surprise, they had gotten some kind of a fast-acting cancer, and they were dead and gone. And so was their research and their literature or their books gone. And, of course, that is not a conspiracy. That's just a coincidence of something that happened. But there was a certain repeating pattern to it, and it just made me wonder. And I thought about how the Bible talks about there being conspiracies or plots or something that was a secret plan. And so I thought about Mike Lindell, yeah, that's his name, of the pillow company, and Donald Trump. And I thought, wow, so many amazing coincidences. Yes, in life, and yes, in the Bible, and what's going on here anyway? On the media and on the internet, and these authorities are telling us that there are baseless election fraud rumors, and so we are not allowed to hear them. Huh? Oh, is it fact or is it untrue? Truth or untruth? It's a question, isn't it? But we do see in history, certainly I have seen, I have read the history books, I've read the Bible, and I see that there are people who want to deceive other people. They want the positions of power, of authority, of riches, all of it. And they manipulate to get it. So what's going on with the conspiratorial plans today? I don't know, but it sure looks there like there are conspiracies. There are things going on around us in the world. You know what? If you listen to some people, they'll tell you exactly, and I don't know exactly, but I see little strings of truths or little strings of a pattern here and there, and it makes me recognize that there really are questions about what's going on at, oh, like the United Nations or the World Economic Forum. What's Bill Gates doing with the World Health Organization and vaccinations? Or is it really to help people, or is it really to, what, do something else? Cause the population to go down. I don't know, but there are people who say they know, and they talk about conspiracies, and they talk about the Club of Rome or the Council on Foreign Relations, or here in the U.S., the Trilateral Commission. That's what they talk about. So there are questions about what is discussed among these elite people. Do you think it's only about how to get rich? I doubt it. But since I am not involved in any of these groups, I can't really say for sure. It's just you look and you see what things they talk about and what are the actions of the people who are involved in these groups, and you do get some ideas. And it does look like a conspiracy, but we're on the outside, and we can only guess what is really true. Still, a part of what we do is use our logic, and we try to understand what somebody else is doing when they don't want to tell us what is really going on. Well, whatever way it is, it's pretty easy to say that there are some pretty close alliances in the groups and even between the groups. All you have to do is look up the groups. It's so easy. What does their literature say? What do the people say? Yeah. It's something that if you don't know, you can get caught up in whatever it is that they're trying to catch you in. So look, open your eyes, take a few minutes and search things out. There are things where we can try to understand where our society is headed, where our world is headed, or our nation, or our local groups. And yes, there is lots of goodness and lots of wonderfulness and lots of godly people with thoughts and actions. Don't ever forget that. There is goodness in the world, but there is also a certain world system that wants to envelop us, to control everything about our lives, and to change the world system that exists into something that benefits them and not us. You might call that the beast system. Is the beast system now? Well, it sure is looking like it's heading that way, doesn't it? And yeah, you can call it the mark of the beast. Yeah, you can call it the Antichrist system. Or you can just say it's the difference between freedom and slavery. So what do you want? Freedom or slavery? And that reminds me of that Alexander Tytler, who was a Scottish professor in the mid-1700s. And he observed this cycle that all civilizations went through. He said, all civilizations go from bondage to spiritual faith, to great courage, to liberty, to abundance, to complexity, to apathy, to dependence, and back to bondage. Yeah, 200 years ago, Alexander Tytler made this observation. And you know, it's been over 200 years since we signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776 until today. 244 years. So, he said a 200-year cycle. Is there about time for us to have gone through the cycle? Good question. Well, if we look at that, we could say, so we're ready to go back into bondage, huh? Oh, well, maybe. But if this is such a understood cycle in history or by somebody, you better know that there are spiritual beings who also recognize this cycle. And they would see that we are lining up today for a cycle to be friendly to lining up with a cryptocurrency type of internet cloud situation. And that cryptocurrency on the internet or in the cloud or whatever kind of a system that is friendly with it, it is ready to be entered into when you think about the buying and selling or the way we shop and the way we work or the way we socially interact, the way we socially stay in touch with friends and family or churches or social groups. See, all these things are coming together to say we just could be in the end of the end days. We just could be. So let's just pay attention to that. We have forces at work that are removing our human-to-human interaction. And instead, we are going to a human-to-computer, to another human interaction. So is that good and healthy for us? Well, it has its advantages, that's for sure. But we better just think about where things are going. Are we really going to trust those machines more than we trust a human being? Maybe. Maybe it's better to trust a machine more than a human being. Because we do see all of the improper and unsavory human corruption that is going on all around us. Yeah, look at that. Look at the double dealing, the lying, the stealing, or maybe even the murders and deaths that are going on at the highest levels of our society, our government, all of it. We see these things are going on. Yes, in past decades, and yes, even today, we see this kind of unwholesomeness going on all over the place. So, do you think that we want to trust people? There was just an interview just last month of James Clapper, the recent director of national intelligence. What an interview. And he said a lot. And we have to kind of figure out, was it totally true or not? Because if his interview was truthful, there certainly is a great deal of rottenness at the highest levels of our government. And he talked about one person plotting against another person, or coveting or wanting to be in a position of power. He talked about the terrible activities that go on too. And he talked about how there was some of the homosexual activity at the highest levels of government, or that or pornography, a child thing, porn things, would be even planted on people's computers. And then they would be accused of doing something illegal. And what kind of stuff there was indeed was illegal, is illegal, and immoral. So then there would be deals made. And, maybe a person would have to resign. Maybe a person would have to accept a plea bargain so that something wouldn't show up on their record. And that's what he talked about. He talked about those kind of situations being manipulated, or that there would be a penalty like a forfeiture of dollars or property. He said that Epstein guy was an intelligence asset who was providing dirt on all sorts of people and politicians. So, well, about James Clapper, do remember that his statements are uncorroborated, so we can't take them as truly proof, but he is in a position to know all sorts of things. And we would not want to convict anybody based on what he said, but what he says is evidence of a tangled and terrible government or people's hearts or whatever. So if we heard that from various sources and not just him, it would give weight to the testimony. Oh, and his testimony was not even a sworn testimony. So it still is a source of information to give us an idea, but it's not that we know it's really true. It's just that he said it. It might be true. And so what? And so you pay attention to what's going on. That's just what we do. We pay attention. And we think, but if the world really is that corrupt, if people are that corrupt, what are we going to do? do you look towards another alternative? What would that alternative be? Or do we want to empower artificial intelligence robots? Because after all, we know robots are impartial, aren't they? And AI robots, do you think they would be completely trustworthy? Yeah, well, they are as long as their programming allows their trustworthiness. Well, do you remember the first law of robots? To not harm any human. Boy, that can go down a line of thinking. Well, I'll go to it and then come back again. Okay. Do you remember about 3.5 years ago on Facebook, they were showing off their two robots, Rob and Alice, and they were showing us about artificial intelligence and what these robots could do, that they could even acquire human skills, like bartering. And those two robots named Bob and Alice, they were bartering for various items in front of the cameras. And it all went smoothly for a few minutes. And then Bob and Alice, the robots, AI robots, began talking to each other in some unknown language. And that went on for a few minutes. And in fact, it didn't stop. And nobody knew what they were saying, but it was some kind of an unknown language. And so the technicians had to cut the power to them to get them to stop communicating in a language that no one understood. Okay, so what do you say about that? You want to trust those robots? The first rule of artificial intelligence robots is not to harm any human. So what would we do if those robots secretly began to communicate secretly and decide, yeah, the first rule of AI robots includes not letting humans harm humans. Whoa, wouldn't that be something? Then we would probably not be allowed to do anything that could harm ourselves. Yeah, just think what that would mean. Would we humans be allowed to drive or to skateboard or to get up on a ladder? Just think, what if we couldn't eat our fried foods or have sweet things, and there would be no smoking or drinking or drugs, or we might be required to walk every day? Oh boy, so what would that mean if we had to have artificial intelligence control us? It certainly is not something we would ever really want to volunteer for, is it? We like our freedom, don't we? Where are we going with this? And how would those robots, those AI robots, induce us to cooperate? Coerce us? Force us to have the correct behavior? We could only guess what they would do to protect us from harming ourselves. What a thought, isn't it? Artificial intelligence robots. What, you know, robots have really gotten to be something that we are not used to seeing. And if you think about what robots are capable of, let's look into it for a few minutes and see that. Let's see, it's Boston Dynamics who has those videos online of what robots are capable of. They are human-shaped robots. Well, not all of them. Some look like a dog, some look like a big bug or a cat. And they can jump. They can jump 30 feet high. So, you know, there's another robot video that shows how human-shaped robots and a dog-shaped robot are dancing. They really are mimicking human-like dance movements. How can that be? Well, you'll look, they're doing it. And the engineer of that project said that to make the robots dance like a human, they had to increase the stabilizers for balance, and they had to add more motors and give the robots 3 times more memory and 3 times more battery power. And then those robots could dance. Just look on the internet and you will see those robots looking very much like a human in their movements. If you look at those Boston Dynamic videos, you've probably seen the other videos of what robots can do. They are very capable of doing work to assist our soldiers in war, and they're very capable of doing certain police work. So many people have seen this one of a robot getting knocked down, smashed with something, and still with the gun in their hand, shooting a hostile target. All the while, in the midst of other people or other silhouettes, but no, they were real people on the range also. And those real people might have their hands up, and the robot didn't shoot them, but the robot might have shot right between them with a real shooting gun. So those videos show that robotics have come a long way, and artificial intelligence a long way. They are engineers who say that the robots can look so human-like that you cannot tell if that what looks like a person is actually a person or a robot. And you remember 2017, 2018, the robots on the news in China are robots. They look and have the proper facial expressions and mouth openings to mouth the correct sounds of the words. So, yeah, robots have come a long ways. Do you wonder? Do you ever wonder if our scientists or our politicians are really robots? Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I think about another thing, that there have been robotic counselors, and they have been able to talk to people who need counseling and therapy, and the robots have been graded to be at least as good as a human therapist. It's just interesting. We are so advanced in our artificial intelligence that things that we didn't think are possible really are possible, and we just better realize that as we think about this world and what it's turning into, there are new possibilities more than we ever thought. So, yeah, and it's a lot of it's good. It's not it's not just bad. There's so many good things that will benefit human beings. But it's a question of what is good and what is not good. These advancements are happening all over in our lives. If you think about drones or robots, whatever you want to call them, delivering packages, or that there are security systems that now recognize you, it's facial recognition, and there's self-driving cars and self-driving trucks, and it's just getting into be a different world. They are analyzing the signs, for instance, road signs. They get to identify what is on that sign, or they get to identify what's in the road ahead. Is it a box, or is it an animal, or is it a human? And these self-driving vehicles are learning by trial and error. That's the part of the artificial intelligence, is they learn by counting pixels and in their computer eyes. And everything is getting to be smart by being connected to the internet or the cloud. And that includes what's going on with our finances. In our financial world, with the I don't know, call it dollars, call it money, call it energy units. That's going on all over the world, where there are units of financial things. We call them dollars or currency or whatever you want to call it. And those are going on all over the world. It is another way in which our world is changing rapidly. A year or two, it's been longer, let me think. It's been, a few years ago, the financial transactions were settled in a few days. And the technology has improved and improved. And nowadays, there are systems that will transfer payments, whether it's in your own country or internationally, within minutes. Within minutes, payment is made and received. So it goes to show that the world that we're living in is changing, and changing dramatically. That's going on, and what are we going to do? Are we going to adapt it, or what? Well, it's not quite here yet, but it sure is getting close. And we have to be understanding of what's going on, take advantage of it if we can. And, the investors know about that. The investors have jumped into, what would you call it, artificial dollars, cyber money. All these things is it's active, and it's going on, buying into Bitcoin, buying into other cryptocurrencies. All these things are causing the values of the cryptocurrencies to rise dramatically. It's spectacular. So we can only guess what is really going to happen in the future, but it sure looks like cryptocurrencies are the wave of the future. But which system will win out? And how are we going to invest? Well, just remember that whatever comes along, if it's cryptocurrencies and that kind of investment, we still need what we need in a physical sense. So you want to have your basics of water, filter, food, and warmth kind of set up. And then look to your investing in any way you want. So look at both ways. Both ways, as if technology is going to increase and increase, and as if you still need your basic needs. Well, our world, The world we live in is already going towards these shifts of currency changings. And it just look at what's going on in the two most populous countries of the world, India and China. Now, India and China, they both have populations four times greater than the United States. So that's combined, eight times more people in the world are in systems that we can't quite grasp. Like with India, this was 3.5 years ago, suddenly and without warning to the population anyway, India's prime minister made all of the old currency to no longer have value. And people had something like 2 weeks, not 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks to turn in their old currency and get a card, or there was some new currency available. But that new currency was only available in the American equivalent of $1 bills, $5 bills, and $10 bills. So if you wanted more, you had to get your money on a card. So that's what happened in India. And by the way, if you brought in some large amount of the old currency, you knew you were going to be investigated. For what? For doing something that would bring in cash? Yeah, like an illegal activity. And so you were investigated, and to make sure that you were paying the right amount of taxes or something. So, yeah, that was India. And now in China, it's going on in a similar way. China is eliminating all paper currency, and they say they're going to do that by the Winter Olympics in February of 2021, 1 year away. So what are they going to use? You think some kind of a card? Nope. The people in China are not using credit cards anymore or the old currency. Their method of payment is to use their phone. And millions of people in China are using their phones to pay for absolutely everything. And the government of China is benefiting from that, because everybody can then be regulated and watched and taxed. Don't forget that one. Everybody pays taxes. So that's the advantage of having that cryptocurrency on their phones or anywhere. But it's just one small part of the steps towards the one world order or the globalist dream, however you want to call it. The other part of the globalist dream is to control every single person. Doesn't that just make you think of that movie in 1998, Will Smith, called Enemy of the State? So I guess you could say the movie is all about what would happen if a high-tech surveillance society has people that are without good morals in position of power and authority. And that was 1998. There was a question of if the people who made that movie were just way too paranoid, or were they looking in the future? Yeah, well, we will see, won't we? And I don't know the answer, but there are people who say we have an unreasonable fear of high tech. And we also have an unreasonable fear of immoral people in high up positions in government. Well, you get to determine that one. We can see the problems that are going on, but what are our courts doing? What is anybody doing to stop the the bad things that are going on in high places of our government. You know, there's another interesting thing about China is that they have a social scoring system where everybody has a social score, and if your social score is not high enough, you don't get to do things. And if it is high, you get to do more things. Your score lowers if you, for instance, were to jaywalk, or if you were to litter, or if you didn't pay your bills on time, then your social score is lowered. If you don't visit your elder parents a couple of times a month, that also lowers your social score. And your social score determines if you can fly on an airplane or get your kids into a preschool, good preschool, or even ride on a bus outside of your immediate area. See, that's how it is. That's how it is in China. Restrictions based on your social credit score. It determines where you live. And, oh, and everybody is watched in China. Remember, there's hundreds of millions of cameras in China that are watching and identifying everybody. What a position. Cameras everywhere. Do you think we would ever have that happen? Or would that never happen here? Of course it could not happen here, right? Because we are America, land of the free and home of the brave. And now, because we know it could not happen here, we're not prepared for if it were to start to happen. What would we even do to oppose it? Well, we have things going on that are calling for our regulation. One of them is that health passport. Do we need one? Will it be required to go into a public place or a government building or a public grocery store? All these are questions about what just might be coming our way. Yes, and of course, the masks. Well, we need a mask. Ah, good question. There are many who would say, oh, government, government, help us protect us, help us and keep us safe. Oh, government. Well, I think that falls into line with what the elite have in mind. Have the government tell the people what to do. And doesn't the Bible kind of tell, it does tell us in by examples, of not to put our hope and trust in man. Instead, we are to put our hope and trust in God of the Bible. And that's something that is going on right now. We get to determine our position with God and our position with man or government. Don't trust any man, woman, even yourself. You know how many times we think things that are in a way fooling ourselves. So you have to watch out even for our own thoughts. I think of all the things in life that we have and what we struggle to hold on to. Yeah, don't we though? I think of the people who have gone through fires. I think of my fire and how everything burned up. And in a way, that's what happens at the end of life. We find out that all those things really don't have value. What has value is our relation with God. And that's something we have to just remember. Protect and preserve and develop our relationship with God Jesus. That's what we want to do. Everything is going to be lost anyway in our life, and Solomon said that too, but we know it from our own experience, and we know it from the Bible, and that's just something to look at and recognize. What is important? God is important. Jesus is important. The Bible is important. And that's where we want our faith to be. And there are biblical stories about the people who put their faith in God. The Israelites put their faith in God at the Red Sea. Before that, David put his faith in God and fought the giant Goliath. Other miracles in the New Testament as well. We know that God, Jesus, saves. And that is where we want our faith and our hope to be. The miracles that we have in our life are more than we often think of. We don't think about the times we pray, or maybe you do, but it kind of gets to be we do praying enough and we forget about the things that God really does answer our prayers for as we pray constantly. So, miracles are wonderful, but they are to bring glory to God and more God than us, even though we want things to happen. One of the things we always deal with is our own free will. We look at what we want, and that is something we all do, but wouldn't it be great to think about us demonstrating our love for God Jesus and doing things and wanting things that bring glory to God? And they can be even sacrificing what we have, sacrificing ourselves for the sake of our God. That is showing our love of God, isn't it? And we have to know that we have an example. Jesus is our example, and he allowed himself to be sacrificed on the cross so that we might have forgiveness and eternal life in that heavenly place with Jesus. What a wonderful gift. Eternal life with Jesus. We just want to remember to confess and repent from our sins and be born again, like it says in John chapter 3, and remember the truth of the Bible. That's what we want to do with all that is going on around us. There is deception going around us. And so we want to remember to see what is true and recognize what is lie also, so that we can understand how to operate. That brings me to the thought about the open letter to President Trump from the Archbishop Carlo Maria Vagano. And I read that on the November 7th broadcast of Christ Today. He warned us about the things that are planned or coming. There was COVID-19 that he talked about, and then COVID-21. He warned us about the Great Reset that would be coming. And that Great Reset would affect and reshape our economy and everything that is going on in our life, basically. So let's try to remember to focus on what is of God and not what is of a human authority. We do make plans. Every one of us makes plans. The elite make plans, and so do we. The plans of the elite seem to be to involve that great reset of the world, and that will affect all avenues of our life so completely. It will affect us, and we get to just determine what part we play in that. Are we going to go along with the plans? Are we going to object to the plans and try to live independently of that great research set? Can we? I don't know that we even can, but we don't have to agree with it. Are you going to have all your purchases going online? That's a part of the new order. Just think, this is an example. If all the Walmarts were to close, and if you were to do all your purchases online or through your phone, well, lots of people would like that because it would save Walmart a ton of money. and it would get things to us and we wouldn't have to go out. And, oh, it might be a good idea. But remember that we have God's parameters to live within. And we want to be able to choose what it is that we are involved with. And pretty much that means people, because we are here to spread the good news of the gospel. So whatever you're doing, remember that that's a part of what we are to do, spread the good news of the gospel. Keep your focus on Jesus. Well, thank you for listening today, and may God watch over you and guide you and protect you and bless you as we go through all the things that are in front of us in life. So for my free preparedness pamphlet, which I think about to help other people think about just what we might face and how to prepare for it, I'll gladly send you that. Just send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I'll get that right back to you. And you can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. All lowercase and no spaces. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.